Welcome to Video Games Weekly. I am Paul Charchi, and my co-host, as always, is Reiner. Hey, Reiner.
Hello, sir.
Game Informer, GameInformer.com. Big show for you today. When we recorded our show last week, Fallout 76 Wastelanders had just hit, and I want to circle back on that now that you've had a week to pour into Fallout 76 Wastelanders. We had talked about it perhaps turning Fallout 76 into the game that everybody wanted it to be, which is much more of a single-player game. We'll get your thoughts on that. I want to talk about Crysis coming to the Switch. This is classically the game that nobody's PC could play 10 years ago when it came out, now coming to the Switch. I want to talk about the dearth of new games and where we're sitting with that right now, and whether or not it makes sense to build your own PC for gaming right now. Is this the time to build a gaming rig? And rig can be whatever you want. When you say rig, I think some people are like, oh God, here comes $3,000. You know, one of the things you can do when you build your own PC, Reiner, is just set your own budget and get all the parts you want. We'll talk about that a little bit and then wrap up with some of the Xbox games we recommend that you shelter in place with. And so a lot coming here over the course of the show. Very excited that you joined us for Video Games Weekly tonight. I want to start here, Reiner. Mm-hmm. Sony, according to Bloomberg, the first batch of PS5s is going to be very limited. And that may mean only five, according to Bloomberg, 5 to 6 million consoles by next March. Is that even, is it possible that, I mean, that would be nothing considering it by next March, the you know, in theory, if this thing ships in, say, October, that's 6 months. Could we really only have 5 or 6 million PS5s in the marketplace in the first half year?
Yeah, we haven't even seen what the PlayStation 5 looks like yet, or any games on it, and we're already getting bad news that this thing's going to be hard to find. Mm-hmm. And I think people just a few years ago experienced this with the Switch. Like this, the Nintendo Switch sold out immediately.
Yes.
Was going on, you know, secondhand markets for $1,000 at times. Like it was a madhouse trying to get this thing. And this number here that we're seeing, 5 to 6 million PlayStation 5s, is a lot less than that. So this thing sounds like it's going to be scarce if people are willing to pay for it. Because Bloomberg also lists that the estimate price is going to be a little higher than I think people want it to be.
Yeah, the power in the PS5 is bonkers. And when companies have done the strip down on parts and even accounting for the scale that Sony would be buying in, they believe that there's close to $500 of just part costs in the PS5. So assuming Sony doesn't want to run, you know, these at a loss, there could end up being a very reminiscent of the PS3 level price tag on the PS5. How much do you think, and if they're only going to have 5 to 6 million consoles, they'll probably still sell, right? Even if this thing has a $600 price tag, which is now we're right at where the PS3 was, this thing will probably sell if there's only 5 or 6 million of them available through the first 6 months.
Yeah, I wonder what the breaking point is on that. Like, what would turn people away in terms of price? Would it be $600? Is that too much?
Mm-hmm. Or it is. No, Reiner, it's too much. I mean, at least for sustainability, part of what crushed the PS3 early was the high price point that didn't come down enough quickly enough. Now, if you remember the three Xbox, and you do remember, no need for me to lecture you about this stuff. The Xbox 360 came in at $399, I believe, was its original price point, $200 yep. less than the PS3, and that was the single biggest reason that the Xbox ended up winning that generation.
Yeah, and even if they try to do different pricing models, just the, like you're saying, the components in the PlayStation 5 sounds like it's going to be expensive, even at like the base low-end model, right?
Yeah.
Maybe $549. Bloomberg is also kind of giving estimates of $499 to $549. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing it might hit that $599 price point. We'll have to see. And just the number, I do think it will still sell out at $600, by the way. I think you're right, down the road, it might not hit the numbers of maybe Xbox Series X. Maybe Xbox kind of takes over in terms of being the console of choice for people just from the price point if it is lower.
Yeah.
But day one, if Sony has a lot of games that people are excited for, whether it's like Horizon Zero Dawn 2, I'm making these up by the way, Spider-Man 2, up-resed versions of Last of Us and Uncharted, who knows what's in the works. They've been very quiet about what's going to be there. But I'm guessing there will be a very compelling reason for people to latch on day one. If Sony doesn't have that, look out.
I want to talk about the really fascinating game of chicken that's happening right now, quietly, between Sony and Microsoft, because neither is willing to say their price point. Now, remember this, I want you to recall back to the big E3 right before the launch of the last generation or the current generation of consoles, Reiner, the PS4 and the Xbox
One.
One. Microsoft at E3 went first, and they at that E3, and they announced their price at $100 more than what Sony would announce a day later or even hours later. And the Sony executives years later acknowledged that when Microsoft came out and listed their price, and it was higher than what Sony was willing to go under them, they were high-fiving, and they knew they had already won that generation. They're like, "That's it, it's over. We've already won it." And they were right. And
Yeah.
PlayStation did win this generation. Not in a landslide, but they won it cleanly. And the price point game of chicken that's happening right now is really fascinating because neither company's willing to say a price yet.
Yeah, we know that the Xbox has more power in it, right? At least the Xbox Series X,
Yes. A
in
little
terms
bit.
of teraflops. Yeah.
Yep.
But what does that mean down the road? Like, are people even going to pay attention to that outside of, the hardcores that are online analyzing every spec, even though they don't really know what they mean? They just see a bigger
Right.
number. I kind of fall into that camp too, right? It's what the developers can do with it, how easy it is for them to make these games for these systems. But never before have we seen companies wait this long on revealing so many details. Like, we know the specs, we've seen the controllers,
Yes.
we have not seen the PlayStation 5, we have not seen
Mm-mm.
90, probably 95% of the games that will be there on day one.
No, we have like no, we have virtually no officially acknowledged games, just a handful. It's crazy. And like virtually no new IPs that are attached to this generation. Most of the time you get a new IP that rolls out with the new box that it becomes sort of a signature property for that generation of console, and we don't have that.
Yeah, and even from third party, that will be on everything. We should be learning about the new Assassin's Creed now, the new Call of Duty. We're approaching the time frame where E3 used to be, and that's early June. And so there should be teases, there should be all sorts of stuff starting to bubble in terms of new games coming for the holiday season. But when you
There's
have
not.
a new launch of systems, there's usually a lot of momentum gained in the year prior.
Yes.
We have
Yep.
nothing yet. There's no ramp. We just know they're coming. We've seen the specs. Yes, it's a generation leap in terms of processing power and graphics power and all that stuff. But when are we going to see the games? When are we going to learn what these costs or what they're even capable, like what the
Yeah,
machines can
I want to
do
see
that are
gameplay.
different?
Show me gameplay on a PS5, please. Show me the no load times. I want to
Yeah.
see, that's the stuff I want to see that's going to make me excited for this next generation is seeing these things in action, seeing the graphics, seeing the gameplay, and showing me what's different between a PS4 and a PS5. That's what I want to see, and that's what we haven't seen yet for the most part, other than just glimpses. Because to your point, if it's 100 teraflops or 105 teraflops, I'm never going to notice, and it's not going to change anything for me.
Right.
I need to see it. I need to see what the gameplay looks like and how that is different, and that's what'll change. Now, let's say you want to get a PS5 or you want to get an Xbox Series One at launch, and if there's only going to be 5 or 6 million consoles of PS5s, they're going to be hard to get, much like the Switch, which you mentioned earlier. Ryder, here's how I got two Switches on launch day.
Do you want to reveal this?
I don't
This
know.
sounds
I
like
shouldn't.
a secret that you should keep using to your benefit and not let other people know, because if more people know, that's less switches for you to get.
For me. Here's what happened for the Nintendo Switch pre-order launch. Amazon and Best Buy, at the same moment, at roughly 2 in the morning, turned on their pre-order pages to get the Nintendo Switch. I set my alarm on my phone for 1:55 in the morning, got up, connected to both sites, and refreshed the pages for the Switch and on the Switch page at BestBuy.com and Amazon.com until they resolved and were willing could take my pre-order, and I got in within minutes of them going live. And on Switch launch day, I had two boxes show up on my doorstep, and I had the Nintendo Switch immediately. That was the trick that worked for me last time, and that's how I got two Switches on the first day they were available, and I'm still using them.
This sounds like a different kind of trick, like just making people stay up late into the night.
Yes, and I think they do that to just mitigate load, right?
Oh, I bet. Yeah, because the sites will just crash. There's too many people in the afternoon.
Yeah, and I think it's going to frustrate a lot of people. If you tried this at 2 in the afternoon, the whole world's going to be hitting it. And even if the sites stay up, it's going to feel like you didn't get in the first 5 milliseconds and you're out. So
do you think that's a better approach? Or what if they did like kind of the Willy Wonka lottery?
Lottery? Yeah, they could. They could just lottery it. I don't know. Maybe. That would make sense too. Related to this, Reiner, when we come back, I want to talk for a minute about building your own PC. I mean, if we're going to really be in the $600 ballpark for our next consoles,
yeah.
Well, why not just get a PC and just why don't you just go buy a PC now, today? You don't even have to wait, and you can get roughly the same performance at roughly the same price today. So let's talk about PC gaming for a moment when we come back. It is Video Games Weekly on The Fan. Welcome back, Video Games Weekly on The Fan. Paul Jarchin and Reiner with you, Game Informer, GameInformer.com. For Reiner, not so much me. we were just talking about the crazy price point that we expect to have for the PS5 and the Xbox One X Series X, which are coming out this holiday. We are expecting price points in the $500 to $600 range. So let's just say $600.
Yeah.
You really, at $600, you can build a pretty darn good gaming PC. Not a high-end gaming PC, but a capable gaming PC for $600. And
right.
I've been building my own computers for 15 years. And I think this is absolutely the way to go. Now, you could just go buy a pre-built one, but you're robbing yourself of much of the joy of gaming PC ownership, Reiner. Now, have you ever built a gaming PC from scratch?
I have. I did, yeah, and it lasted me about 5 years, which is kind of your given cycle for a console as well.
Right.
And, as technology improves, PC doesn't have kind of that stopgap in terms of you're bound to this hardware, you have to make it for this hardware. Developers can keep pushing the limit with all the new graphics cards that come out.
Yeah.
So eventually your PC is no longer running games on maximum, right? And then that's where you have that moment of, oh, it's time to upgrade. Can I get a new graphics card for what I have, or do I need a whole new hardware setup?
Well, you just hit on one of the great reasons to become a PC gamer, and that is you can just keep upgrading the parts in your PC. And so if you want a stronger graphics card, if you've got a spare $200 and you want to upgrade your graphics card, you can just drop it in. You don't have to buy a whole new console. You just drop in a new graphics card. You want a faster hard drive. You want to switch from a regular platter hard drive to an SSD. Okay, got a few bucks, drop it in. And so you can keep upgrading and picking away at your gaming PC as time goes by and you've got more money. And I think that's one of the great reasons to own a PC. But maybe none better than this, Reiner. You get to pick every part of your computer.
that probably sounds scary to a lot of people.
It might. I love that I get to choose every part of it, like the case. Oh, PC cases have gotten exotic and beautiful. You can pick out the case that you want, and then really it's only five main parts. You need a motherboard. You need memory. You need storage, a video card for gaming, and a power supply. Done. Then you're just hooking up parts. I mean, you can't screw. Mostly, you can't screw it up. The video card only goes one place. You know, the memory mostly only goes one place. You know, there's only one way that you're going to hook your hard drive up. I mean, for the most part, this stuff's pretty easy to build your own computer, and it's not all that hard. And you get to pick, as I mentioned, all your favorite parts. You can pick whatever RAM you want, whatever storage you want, whatever graphics card you want, whatever your budget allots to you. And it's not as hard as most people think it is.
Right. Yeah, there's a lot of websites that can walk you through exactly what you need to pick up. And there are even stores that, you know, make sure you have everything you need for day one playing, so you're not like having to order something again or run out to a shop, if shops open again here soon, to be able to, you know, get a missing piece or whatever.
Let me do a call out to Micro Center here in town in St. Louis Park that does such a good job with this. The people, when you go back to their PC parts area, if you just say, I'm building a PC, here's my budget, and they will help make sure you have all of the parts that you need. They're great with that. And you'll see people, they've got their shopping cart, and they've got the motherboard, the video card, the storage, the RAM, you know, and the case, and they're clearly building a new machine from scratch, and they're getting all the parts, and the people in there are really, really helpful and can help you stay on budget. And I'll mention this as well. Micro Center will price match pretty much any place you would be buying parts from. And so as you're putting every piece in the cart, you can go to your, you know, whatever your favorite online retailer is and verify that you're getting the best deal. And if you're not, they'll price match it.
Yeah. And I mean, there are, if that scares you, if building the innards of a machine scares you, they even have like spec'd out builds for you, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and then you can kind of customize the fun part, like you're saying, right? Like customize the shell of it. Lately, Charge, I used to get towers, right? These are the big, for people that don't know, these are kind of the big clunky units that sit under your desk or, you know, next to your TV. Lately, I've been moving towards laptops, which will run you a little bit more in terms of price. The laptops I've been building over the last generation, I guess, I did two of them. My average price was about $1,500.
Yeah.
But the thing I like about that is you could still plug them into the TV if you want to and have the big display, you know, have wireless keyboard, all that stuff, if you want to transition that way. But I've been playing a lot on just in my bedroom or, you know, wherever I am in the house. I love having that ability to move around, just like the Switch. And yes, they will. I think for a tower, you're probably looking at, like you said, the base number of $600. Anywhere up to like $2,300 for really souped up displays.
Yeah, that sounds right.
But it usually seems for a laptop to get something that's going to be next gen savvy, you're looking at around the lower numbers, $900 to $1,000 up to like $3,000.
Yeah, building your laptop is a whole other ball game. I don't love that part of it because they're not as upgradable and you can't get the same power for the price.
Right. But you're kind of locked in.
If mobility is important for you, for gaming mobility is important for you, that is important too. And you touched on something that's really important. Before I was a PC gamer, I used to think of it as I'm going to have to be hunched over my 28-inch monitor, whereas my Xbox or my PS4 could be connected to my 65-inch TV. And so I want to be sitting on my couch with my 65-inch TV and my controller in my hand. Well, you can do that with PC. You can hook your PC up to your TV just on the HDMI and it'll run and it'll splash up onto your TV. It can work in 4K. You can have a wireless controller, you can have wireless keyboard, and you lose nothing. It's everything you like about PC gaming up on your couch, and it's from your couch and it's on your TV. So you can do all that as well. One of the downsides with building your own is you don't get support for the whole computer. You can't just call Dell and go, all right,
right.
This thing's broke, you know, fix it. Now you still have support, but you have support on a part-by-part basis. So if your hard drive fails, you're going to your hard drive manufacturer for help. if your video card fails, you're going to your video card manufacturer. But mostly, I've not really ever needed to do any of those things, Reiner.
And that said, you could go to Micro Center or,
yeah, true.
I guess, if you're out in the middle of nowhere, maybe there's a Best Buy with a Geek Squad. You know, they're usually pretty savvy as well in terms of being able to look at what you have and figure out how to fix it or what other part you need to make the unit sing together. There's sometimes compatibility issues with different pieces of hardware. One thing I'll say, if you're looking for a graphics card for next-generation gaming, you're going to want to see how it does real-time ray tracing and advanced shading. These are two things that you keep hearing about in terms of high-end gaming now, is ray tracing. You know, GeForce has the RTX card, which is awesome. There's a ton of new ones coming online soon. They're expensive. They usually go down in price pretty quickly. Because there is so many new ones coming online, especially now with the new generation of gaming.
Yeah.
So it might be a good jumping on point at this point to get something a little, I don't want to say middle of the road, for a cheaper price. Like you're looking at maybe $700, $800 for something that might be able to do next-gen gaming at the highest level. But I would say you're probably better off waiting until we know exactly what you're getting from next-gen games and what those PC requirements are going to be, because we're going to learn those soon. You have to imagine, as these new games are announced from third parties, that we'll see the system specs and know exactly what we're dealing with.
Last thing I'll mention about PC gaming, increasingly we're finding that games that were only on consoles are now on consoles and PC. Horizon Zero Dawn is an example that was a Sony PlayStation exclusive that's coming to PC. And the reason we're seeing that is just PCs are ubiquitous. There's a billion of them in use around the country, around the world. And so, you know, there's just more than a billion. There's probably several billion PCs. And so, you know, when you put Horizon Zero Dawn on PlayStation only, it limits you to the couple hundred million PlayStation units that are out in the wild. When you put it on PC, it's a couple billion potential units that are out there that, you know, that might be able to play it if they can run the game. So increasingly, you're not really turning your back on a lot of the exclusives that you used to. And honestly, there are so many games, more games on PC. It's staggering how many games are out there, especially at the indie level and the medium-sized developer level.
And as we move forward, we're moving away from the console, like PlayStation, just being a box. It's going to be like Netflix, right? Like, that's what Sony wants, is no matter where you are in the world, what system you have, what hardware you have, that you'll be able to download or stream a game to play on it.
Right.
So I think these brands are going to just become more so names and portals than just hardware systems. That's PlayStation. Xbox is really moving into that territory with Xbox Game Pass.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of time until you can have PlayStation on everything. And I think that's what's happening with Horizon and MLB The Show. You know, they're opening that up to put it on different systems.
Yeah.
But you'll have to play it through the PlayStation portal, I'm guessing.
I think you're probably right about that. Let's transition. So, all right, enough on PC talk. And by the way, if it's, as a side note, I polled my Twitter followers, most of which are video game players. You know, I think obviously I got a lot of fantasy guys, but the fantasy guys are video game players too, about what their preferred gaming system was: PC, Xbox, PlayStation, or Nintendo Switch. And the PC came in last by a mile.
Yeah.
It was Xbox, it was PS4, it was the vast majority. Switch was third, and then the PC. So I know we're not talking to a lot of people that are necessarily going to make that switch, but I think it's worth consideration right now. And for anybody who's just waiting for the next generation of console, you can have it today by building your own PC.
There's still something to plug and play, Charge. You know, that concept. I know you could just click a button to download something on PC.
Yes.
It's as easy as shopping on Amazon or any website.
Yes.
But for whatever reason, there's this mindset, this legacy mindset of, you know, it's just easier to just plug in a console and you're playing within minutes.
Well, it is easier. It is easier.
No, I mean, you could buy a spec'd out PC you know, from a store and have the exact same experience.
That's true.
But for whatever reason, there's
the
this
same experience.
This messaging still exists that isn't true anymore, right?
Yes.
Like,
Yeah, if you're going to build your own, it's obviously more of a commitment. It'll be a day or two to get your, you know, depending on how much time you put into it, to get your computer built. But yeah, that's if you just go buy a store-bought computer, it really is the same experience. You know, you plug it in, turn it on, and you're up and running.
You're good to go.
Yeah. At this time last week, we talked about Fallout 76 Wastelanders. Fallout 76, as a reminder for that most of you already know, was the flop that Bethesda put out 18 months ago in the Fallout world. It was an always-on multiplayer experience, and it was panned almost universally. It was a buggy mess. Mostly, they fixed the vast majority of the bugs, and they put out this massive new patch called Wastelanders that was designed to help alleviate the biggest complaints that people had, which were no real single player ability to play, no NPCs, really forcing social interaction on people that didn't necessarily want it in their Fallout. You've been able to spend on and off the last week with Fallout 76 Wastelanders. Is this back to being the game that people wanted, Reiner?
No.
No.
You know, I played 20 to 30 hours of it, and it is better. Fallout 76 is better with the Wastelanders update, and it hits new highs more often too, right? Like there's times where I'm like, wow, this game is really singing. It reminds me of why I love Fallout. Fallout 3, New Vegas, it's hitting into that territory. But the legacy issues of the game are still there. It being a living game makes VATS worse. You know, that's the targeting system that they have.
Yeah,
in a live environment, it just doesn't work as well, and it's still inconsistent.
Mm-hmm.
Bugs are still everywhere in this. You know, enemies, you know, popping out into existence, you know, right in front of you, or a boss falling through the world that you need to kill to finish the level, yet he's gone. I could see his health meter below me, you know, through the floor, but you know what? You can't just reload an old save. You have to, you know, turn off your system or, you know, reload the game.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, if you lost progress, that you can't get that back by going to an earlier save spot. It's gone. The ammo you expended on an enemy, it's gone. That's a problem that still exists in this game. But the NPCs do accomplish the mission of making the wasteland feel like it has some life to it. Yes, it's West Virginia.
Ironically,
yeah.
Right? We need, you know, we're looking for our NPCs to give life to Fallout 76.
So Bethesda has gone back on their stance of every person you meet is a human player that you can either attack or partner up with, or just wave to and say goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
Now, most of the people you see in the wasteland are AI controlled. And it has some of that Fallout 3 and New Vegas flavor to it, in that you can talk to all of them. And there's a ton of them, Charge. Like, you'll go to certain pockets, these people that are moving into Appalachia, they've set up camps, you know, thriving cities.
Mm-hmm.
There's vendors everywhere, you know, just people going about their business. And when you talk to them, you have some sway over how things are going to unfold with them. And the conversation system is exactly like it was in Fallout 3, in that you have choice, and then there are skill checks, in that if you have enough charisma, you might be able to bend someone's will to your way of thinking and have different outcomes for not just that conversation, but where the story goes next, and also your standing with certain factions within the wasteland.
Now, everybody says you need to be around level 20 to get most of the new content in Fallout mm-hmm. 76 Wastelanders, but if I start right now at level 0, am I still going to be able to interact with an NPC vendor? Or is it just that I don't get like the cool storylines and, you know, most of the curated content I have to be level 20 for?
Now, there's some weird things happening with the story in terms of the legacy story that, you know, launched with the game in 2018. Mm-hmm. And then the new content, in that there's a character named the Overseer. And this is kind of the person that sets you on your way when you walk out of Vault 76. Now they've redone the opening moments of the game, where in the early game, in 2018, you didn't see the Overseer. You're kind of going on this mission. You don't know if you could trust her or not. Now you see her right away. You just kind of go to her house and there's a bar there that's kind of your first stop that's filled with NPCs. So they've redone the opening of the game, and it runs into some storytelling issues with later missions with the Overseer, where you're doing things yet you've kind of already resolved them. Like, you're in the next chapter of her life at the outset of play, yet you're going to walk through these things that are, I guess, are happening in the past then, these next missions, right? If you go to the old content. But if you're just doing the new content, yes, you can immediately interact with NPCs. There's some lower level stuff you can do. If you have a friend that is a higher level, maybe not even level 20, maybe 15, 18, you could probably roll together and be able to take on most of the new content.
I should note to people that you do need to have a PlayStation Plus subscription to play Fallout 76 at all. It is unlaunchable without a PlayStation Plus subscription. So if you don't have that, factor that into your decision if you want to jump back into Fallout 76, because, you know, that is an additional $40-$50 a year.
Yeah, you could get the game. Yeah, you can get the game for, what were you saying, GameStop, like $10?
I bought it used at GameStop for $10, but I hadn't realized that I had left my PlayStation Plus lapse. And so now I figured at $10, I wanted to stick my toe in the water on Fallout 76. Right. Why not? But then now I'm looking at like a $60 stick my toe. I'm not sticking my toe in the water at $60. I'm waist deep at $60. And I don't know that Fallout 76 is good enough to warrant me dropping the $60. Right now, I'm not playing a lot of online play on my PlayStation, so I don't know if I'm going to do it, Reiner.
The new story, the new mission, it's oddly on topic today. You're dealing with this virus that's going throughout Appalachia called the Scorched Plague. And so there's all these new people coming into your wasteland, and you need to go be like, hey, you need to get inoculated. Like, you need to get this cure. And obviously they don't trust you, right? They're like, no way we're drinking this or getting this shot or whatever it is.
Right.
So you have to kind of bend their wills and convince them through missions and gaining their trust, yada, yada. It's actually kind of a fun story to go through. They do some clever things with, like, Nuka-Cola. That's their Coca-Cola brand, their fictional one in the world.
Yeah.
And most of the missions, you'll have an NPC running with you, which I love, because you're getting more story and conversation just as they're talking to you.
Mm-hmm.
Previously in Fallout 76, you're doing a lot of reading of notes or going to a terminal to get your story moved forward. Every once in a while, you get an audio file that you can listen to. Usually at the end of that, you find the corpse of whoever left these things, right? Like, that's how their story ended. You find out how they died.
Yeah.
Now, you usually run into someone else, right? Like, you run into another character that, again, you can have choice over, or maybe they'll become a companion of yours that lives at your camp. They can't walk, they can't run with you, because, you know, if you're in a party with four other people, they'll all have the same same companion or ally, as they call them in Fallout 76.
Yeah.
But, you know, it is cool to have someone else at your camp now. There's a little bit more life there. Overall, I think Fallout 76 is better. It's still the worst Fallout game that Bethesda has made. I mean, there's no way around
sad.
That.
Yeah, it is sad. Yeah.
And you know what? It doesn't look that much better than Fallout 3 or 4 or even New Vegas. Like,
it's
the graphics
running on that same old Bethesda engine. They've got it. You know what? I'll be so bummed out if the next Skyrim, whenever, God only knows, whenever they advance the ball on Elder Scrolls, if that's running on the same engine that would then at that point be 20 years old, I'm going to be really, really upset.
Yeah, at Fallout 4, I think they should have been going, whoa, our tech is old compared to everything else out there. For them to make Fallout 76 on the same tech, I was surprised. If you haven't played Fallout before and you're intrigued by this series, I would say start with Fallout 3. I still think that's a great game.
It's the best of the Fallouts.
And again, visually, it's not that far off. Yes, it's older, but it's not that far off from where we are today.
And I'll mention this. And this is another big, massive advantage to PC gaming. Going back to our prior discussion, you can mod your PC games. You Fallout 3 and Fallout 4 have been modded a billion different ways to add all kinds of new content, new abilities, user interfaces, monsters, weapons, whole new parts of the planets. I mean, the modders have gone crazy on that, and it's only on PC do you get the mods. You don't get that stuff in any meaningful way on console, because the consoles can't let you effectively sort of break their security to let you mod these games the way you want to. PC doesn't care. So that's another advantage. When we come back, I want to talk about a couple of games that I'm not very familiar with. You can help me learn about Valorant. Did I pronounce that right?
You did, yes.
Valorant is Riot Games' new 5v5 PC shooter. I want to talk about that. And the Dark Pictures Anthology?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that is. You can, but you do, so you can let me know. It sounds super cool. I don't know what the Dark Pictures means, but the Dark Pictures Anthology's got a cool name. You can tell us about that when we come back for the final segment of Video Games Weekly. Final segment of Video Games Weekly. I'm Paul Charchian. My co-host is Reiner from Game Informer. You've played a couple of games I haven't heard of. Valorant is the new Riot Games' 5v5 PC shooter. It's on PC only right now, but most likely, you know, if you want to have, you know, eventually, great shooters come to console, right?
Oh, yeah,
so
definitely.
Sooner or later, this thing probably comes to console as well. What is what's the hook on Valorant?
Yeah, so it's basically, you know, people call it Counter-Strike meets Overwatch. Hmm. In that it has kind of the flow and pacing of Counter-Strike. It's 5v5.
Yep.
You know, you take down, if you get taken down, you're up for that, you know, for that round.
Mm-hmm.
It's last man standing wins the match. And the difference is every character is a different class. They're their own personality. So you can't have two of the same person on the team, just like Overwatch. They have cooldowns. They have their own, you know, ults. And so it has a kind of different take on, you know, I don't know, more of a sci-fi magical element than Counter-Strike has, which is more just kind of running and gunning. And that makes it very compelling and very cool. It's something a little different, yet it feels very familiar, if that makes sense. Valorant is the number one game on Twitch right now, like by a long shot. It's crushing Apex Legends, Fortnite, Overwatch, all the big players, Call of Duty. Everybody's focused on Valorant right now. It's just in beta, but the full game should be coming soon. I think there's just one map right now. But this is kind of the game of choice right now for PC players on PC, and I can't wait for it. There's been rumblings that it's coming to console. I'm guessing that'll happen when the game actually goes live, or maybe when the new systems come out.
Hey, another reason to go PC gaming, right? A lot of times you get a half year or a year lead on great games.
Early access, betas, all that kind of stuff. You're in on the ground floor if you're into that kind of thing. I usually wait until the game is fully out to really invest time, because if you're doing like an RPG, like Baldur's Gate's going to be early access, right? That's going to have an early access period when it comes out later this year.
Yeah.
I just don't like the idea of like the game getting better over time in those early moments of play, or, you know, maybe even they wipe your progress to a degree, even if, you know, maybe they don't wipe it completely, but there might be things they take away from you just to balance the game more. So early access, I put a kind of a red flag on it. I'm playing Valorant in beta just because it's the new hotness. I want to see what it's all about.
Sure.
But usually I wait.
You're not going to review it that way.
But No.
But I think for a lot of people, and it depends that every early access is different. For a lot of people, you know, early access is pretty darn polished. And at that point, you're looking at a largely finished build that really they're just looking to stress test and get, you know, instead of hundreds of people at one time, they're doing thousands of people at one time, whatever.
Right.
Other times, early access is a wreck, where people don't, you know, where the game is truly in a very unfinished state. But, you know, they're all different. And for a lot of our listeners, some people, you know, don't mind that at all. I'm looking at Valorant gameplay right now. It looks super slow. I'm watching it on Twitch at this moment. Man, you walk slowly, you move slowly.
Yep.
Everything, it's...
It There's a lot like of everything peeking around is, corners.
Yeah.
That's the flow.
We'll see if that's what people want. Valorant is, it looks more like Counter-Strike than Overwatch by a lot to my eye, just based on now watching for 30 seconds. Tell me about the Dark Pictures Anthology. What is this, and should I care about what this is? Dark Pictures Anthology.
So this is a new horror series of games from a developer named Supermassive Games. Church, I've raved about their work before because they made Until Dawn, which is one of the best horror games ever made for PlayStation 4. If you're looking for something scary that has a ton of choice in it, like just like the old slasher films, you kind of have a say in who lives and dies. Like, should they go in the closet or should they go under the bed? Decisions like that added up in Until Dawn. Whereas at the end of the game, you would have water coolers conversations with other people that played it in that, hey, how many people lived in your game? You know, it's like, I walked out of the house with three people, and it's like, oh, I only had one. Or someone else is like, wow, I had everybody.
Yeah.
So that's what's really cool about Until Dawn. The Dark Pictures Anthology changes it up a little bit in that you could play it co-op over either Xbox Live or PlayStation 4 or on PC.
Okay.
And go through these kind of horror stories, these standalone stories that are built like mini movies. So the first one was called Man of Medan.
Okay.
It takes place on a ghost ship. And what's really cool about having another friend with you, not only are you kind of working through it together and keeping an eye on your surroundings together, but you start hallucinating. There was like a gas on the ship where you start seeing things that shouldn't be there. So there'll be times where you get separated from your friend, and then all of a sudden, like, I'm getting attacked by a zombie, and my friend starts yelling over Xbox Live saying, why are you attacking me? And I'm like, I'm not attacking you. I'm attacking a zombie. He's like, no, you're stabbing me. That's me.
That's super cool. But that was the previous game.
Yep. And the problem that game ran into, like, the reason you didn't hear about it was there was a lot of QTEs. These are quick time events where you got to quickly hit a button to accomplish something, like make a jump. And then the camera was also a problem. Like, it didn't always track the best angle for you in certain circumstances. So it was a little frustrating, and it was also a little slow.
Mm-hmm.
Supermassive has heard that feedback and has adjusted for the second game, which is called Little Hope. It takes place in the present day.
Okay.
But it is all about this old New England town from the 17th century with the witch trials. That's kind of the focus.
Okay, but it's set in present day, but this has got a Salem feel to it?
Exactly. Like, so not everything that died back in the 17th century is still dead. Or, you know, like, there's going to be kind of a haunting going on here. And it does. You don't have to play Man of Medan first. Little Hope is a standalone story. Just like I said, they're like little movies.
Okay.
And they're going to just make an anthology of these. I think it's a great idea. Again, you could play it co-op with a friend online.
I like it.
We don't have a release date yet, but if you like what you're hearing, jump into Man of Medan. Again, it's not the best game, but there are some legitimately funny moments with you and a friend playing the game, or terrifying moments where you're jumping out of your seat.
Okay,
it still delivers those things.
But so I'm confused now. Man of Medan already came out. Little Hope is the new one, and is that out now?
Or no, that's on the horizon. Yep.
Okay, all right. So this is a forthcoming game. Okay.
Yep, you can go watch a trailer, read details about it now. We have those up on GameInformer.com. But yeah, we're waiting for a release date, but that's the next one that's coming, and it sounds very cool.
Okay, again, that's Dark Pictures Anthology, Little Hope is the new one. Dark Pictures Anthology, Man of Medan is the old one, which I'm assuming you can play on the cheap now.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yep.
Affordably. Another quick topic, and we've only got a couple of minutes left in the show, Reiner. To be specific, about four. Right now, if I wanted to pre-order a game on the PlayStation, there is a grand total of six pre-orderable games for the PS4. That's it. I mean, this generation, we might not realize it because nobody ever sort of trumpets this. This generation's basically dead. There's Cyberpunk left. There's Last of Us that's coming at some point, and we don't know when. That's it. This generation is basically over right now as it stands in late April.
Yeah, it's hard to believe, right? Like, because we just don't know what's coming next. That's what makes this so scary right now is... usually we have a good idea of what we're saving up for, you know, and what games we're going to want to have in the holiday season. And you know, maybe we don't know the price of these systems yet, but we have at least a good idea of the range.
Yeah.
That is all just up in the air at this point. And now it's like, well, I might as well play everything that's coming out for the new systems because there's nothing else.
Yeah. There really isn't. Go ahead.
Like next week, there's a new Predator game coming out, asymmetrical game where it's four humans taking on the Predator in the jungle.
Okay.
This game was, it's called Predator Hunting Grounds. This game didn't get a lot of buzz, but now all of a sudden it's been elevated to the point of this AAA entity because
there's nothing else out there, right? You know, we've talked about this many times on the show. You know, when you launch your game is probably more important than the game itself. And if you launch your game into a dead window, a game that would normally go almost completely unnoticed can capture people's attention. And vice versa, a great game can get buried. Look at Titanfall. Titanfall got buried into a holiday release schedule, and nobody played it.
Yeah.
And Titanfall 2. And, you know, that's when games come out, super, super important. Now, because there are only a total of six PS4 games that are even pre-orderable right now, don't you think there's going to be a ton of PS5 and Xbox One Series X reveals coming very, very soon? Normally, it all would have been jammed into June for E3. Don't you think we're going to see, without an E3, don't you think we're going to see that get spread out some, and we're going to start seeing soon some of the big reveals for the next generation?
Yeah, I don't even think it's just going to be next generation. I think you're going to hear that they're coming to PS5, Xbox Series X, and PS4 and Xbox One.
Yeah.
I think we're going to see dozens and dozens of games that are going to be exciting and interesting. Like, there's got to be a new Assassin's Creed. There's got to be a new Call of Duty. Ubisoft has all these games. When are they coming? Watch Dogs. You know, like, we know that game exists, but where is it?
Right.
Is it still 2020? Like, it has to be. Like, it makes no sense for it not to be. So why don't we have dates yet? Because they want to line it up with the new hardware,
right,
which Sony and Microsoft are not giving us yet. We don't know a date. We just know holiday.
Right. But if you want to give out information on the next Watch Dogs and it's going to be on the next generation, you don't need a date. You can just say, you know, coming on PS5, coming on Xbox Series One X, and you know, that's it. So I don't see why that has to be such a linchpin in this conversation, to be honest. But and you know, I think you'd have to give a lot of thought right now if you're buying a console right now. Just know if you're buying a new PS4 or an Xbox One that are currently available when you're going to Target or Best Buy or wherever you like to buy your consoles, GameStop, you need to know you're not going to be getting many new games. You're going to be playing the back catalog, so just know what you're getting into with that.
Or if you are getting new games, if this is not a real transition for a true console, new generation, that you're not getting the best of those games in terms of visuals and performance.
Correct. Reiner, great job today. Thanks.
Hey, thank you.
Had a lot of fun. Thank you for listening to Video Games Weekly. We'll be back next week with plenty more to talk about. We encourage you to check out the podcast. If you missed the beginning of this show, you can do that at KFAN Fan On Demand, also on iTunes and your favorite streaming apps like iHeartRadio. Thanks, everybody. Bye-bye.